You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Luke chapter 6. I believe today we'll wrap it up. We will wrap up this series on finances, which we've been teaching on for several weeks now. In fact, we started out teaching on our attitude toward finances, and then, of course, God's will is that we prosper.
Yes.
And then what does God say about it? Yes. Work. God's number one way to prosper you. He has a lot to say about work, and we went over that. Budgeting, savings, he talks a lot about that all through the Scripture. And a lot of people, when they think of the Bible and they think of money, they just think of tithing. You know, and we should tithe, no question. We taught that last week. But there's a whole lot more in the Bible concerning finances than just tithing and giving. It's not so much the amount of money or the lack of it that is our problem. I think it's the management of the money. And God has some good money principles, management principles. The richest man in the Bible was Solomon. The wisest man in the Bible was Solomon. So there's a connection between the wisest man being the richest man. In fact, all of Solomon's teaching, if you go through Proverbs, boils down to we prosper through wisdom. We prosper through using God's principles, His Word, and just good business sense. And we talked about investing, what the Bible says about that. Talked about borrowing and co-signing. Co-signing, well, that's no, shouldn't do that. Borrowing, there's a time to borrow, and there's a time not to borrow. You know, it makes sense to borrow as opposed to paying rent, but you have to use it very, you know, cautiously, borrowing. God wants you out of debt. It really is His will that you be out of debt. It's His will that you prosper. It's His will that you're in a position to help others. Because that's the whole point. See, it's not a matter of just getting more stuff. God doesn't mind you having stuff. That's fine. You can have all the stuff in the world as long as it doesn't have you. But as soon as it has you, we got a problem. Amen? As soon as you lust after it, because it's the love of money, not the having of it. It says the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some having coveted after have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now that's talking about your heart, your lusting after money. He didn't say money was the root of all evil. He says the love of money is.
Right.
And so that we have to always be cautious of. So we went from that and taught on tithing last week. Everybody ought to be a tither. Every Christian, every believer ought to be a tither to a local church, a local assembly. If you're a member of one, you should tithe there. That's 10%. 10% is God's deal. It's not my deal. It's not a preacher's deal. It's not a way the church, you know, gets rich. It's just God's principle. He wants you to invest in the cause of Christ. He wants you to be a co-laborer with Him, to be a part of what He's doing. The good news is He pays you back.
Amen.
Opens up the windows of heaven and pours you out a blessing you don't have room to receive, according to Malachi 3:11 tells us that. So it's not that money that's gone. It's actually an investment into the kingdom. It's a heavenly investment.
Yes.
And it gets you a part involved in helping and working with something bigger than yourself.
Amen.
You know, get you out of yourself, as it were. Because we were born for such a time as this. We were not born to just isolate ourselves, crawl off on the mountain and hide in the monastery. You know, we were called to the world. All of us have a world that we minister to, whether it's somebody at the 24 mark or football game or whatever, you know, wherever we are. I don't know wherever that took place that Tom was ministering. Whether it's on the job, neighborhood, in your house, relatives, people you work with, we all have a world that we are supposed to influence. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So God wants to bless us financially. I mean, you know, you either go two extremes here. You never mention money because it's just wicked, or all you do is talk about it all the time and you can't shut up about it. And both those extremes, I believe, are wrong. If we're just teaching biblical prosperity and God just wants to make you a billionaire and millionaire and wants you to have more stuff and get more stuff and believe God for more stuff and believe God, well, I think we're imbalanced. I really do. I believe God wants to prosper us, no question. Nicer car, sure. Nicer home, no problem. But I mean, at some point, get satisfied. Come on. And let's start believing for money to bless the kingdom,
Amen.
To reach missions and build buildings for the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. See, that's when you're getting a hold of it. Well, you got everything you need.
Hallelujah.
Are you with me?
Yes.
So there's a balance there. Does God want to bless us with nice things? Sure, I don't have a problem with that. But if we're just going after things, then we're missing the point.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, Luke 6. Have you found it?
Yes, sir. Yes.
This is a classic verse. We quote this often. Concerning giving. Everybody say giving.
Giving.
Okay, now, I'm not talking about tithing. We talked about that last week and taught on that. Tithing is something that we all should do on a regular basis. It's 10% of our income. We should give to the gospel. We should give into the kingdom, your local church, local assembly. But now above that is giving. Some people say, well, I tithe 15%. Well, actually, you tithe 10 and you give 5. That's fine. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that at all. We're not going percentages a lot. It helps us to commit. You know, if I just say, well, I have some money here, I'm going to give some extra 100 here, I'm going to give extra this. But it's easier for us if we just say, well, we're going to give this percentage each week. The 10% is the tithe, and then we give a percentage of our income above that. That's just something we do, you know, so we can consistently give. And then there's times we have extra that we give more. Are you with me? We're believing for those more of those times. But anyway, giving is something that you give above your tithe.
Amen.
It's above the tithe. Tithe is just 10%. Giving is above that. And everybody should give. Everybody ought to. You ought to be believing to give to help people, bless people, to, you know, to give into their need, to help meet a need somewhere. Giving meets a need. In Luke, the 6th chapter, Jesus speaking. This is all written in red so you can believe this.
Wow.
Yeah, that's profound. He says in the, the problem I always have is trying to find where to start. I start backing up and I can't find a stopping point. You know, it's all so good. 30th verse, we'll start there. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And he's talking about an attitude. Of course, back then under Roman law, you know, you had a Roman soldier came up to you and said, I want you to walk with me a mile and carry my stuff. By law, you had to do that. And so we're in a different culture now and a custom now where that's not really not the case. And he was just saying, don't complain. Just do whatever they ask. Go ahead and go with them. Carry the coat. Go 2 miles instead of one, so on and so forth. 31st verse. And just as you want men to do to you, you do also to them likewise. That's what we call the golden rule.
Amen.
If you see somebody in need, go help them. Wouldn't you want them to help you if you had a need? That's assuming you're able to. Now, I understand we're not always able to do that. It's not do unto others before they do unto you. Okay? That's not the golden rule, you know. Golden rule is do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. 32nd verse, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. In other words, if we're just helping people that we love, well, you know, hey, everybody does that. Everybody helps the mama. They should. Amen? Everybody helps their kids. You should do that. I mean, that's just right. You should do that. But what about people that are in need you don't know? I mean, I think about our food ministry. We don't know those people. They come up, you know, they're in need. They're desperate in need. We want to help them. Are you with me? And yet we don't know them. And you know what? We're not going to get anything back from them. That's not a bad thing. I don't say that in a bad way. We're not doing that to get something back from them. That's not why we're doing it. We're doing it because we want to help them.
Yes.
We're not expecting them to give us back, come back, pay us next week for the food.
Right.
You know? Or if we help enough of those people, then we'll go call them up when we're in need. You know? We're not trying to get anything from them.
Wow.
We're trying to help them because, well, they need help.
Amen.
That's a new concept. Amen? Mm-hmm. And we're able to. And we want to use the gifts, the blessing that God's given us to help other people. That's good stuff. Now, will we get back? You better believe you'll get back. You won't get back from them. You'll get it back from God. More than you gave.
Amen.
But there again, that's not even why we give either.
That's right.
I mean, there may be times in your life where you have a great financial need. You need to plant a seed. I believe that. Those times do happen. But that's not our motivation for giving on a regular basis. Our motivation to give is to help people, to bless people, because we see a need, we want to meet it.
Yes.
I know in doing that, that I'm lending to the Lord, because that's what the Scripture tells us. In Proverbs it says, he that gives the poor lends to the Lord, and what he gives, he will be repaid.
Yes.
I know that. I know that. But that's not why I'm doing it. Does that make sense? Because
yes.
I think people get a little confused. I don't give to get, but I know I'm going to get if I give.
Right.
And I believe I'm going to get if I give. But that's not why I'm giving. I'm giving because I want to help somebody. God's blessed me. I'm able to help. I want to help somebody. I mean, it ought to be in us to do that. Let's don't be stingy. Amen. Let's don't just hoard up all of our stuff. Let's thank God for how He's blessed us and ask God how He would like for us to use that to help others.
Amen.
See, that's giving. That's above the tithe. Everybody should tithe. Stay with me. And He says this, the 32nd verse, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, you just got a mutual admiration society going on here. If you just do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good. Lend. Hoping for nothing in return. Now stay with me. Hoping for nothing in return from them. Okay, he's not saying that give it and just don't believe for anything. Don't trust that God will take care of you. Kiss it goodbye. Throw it down the chute. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. It's gone. Bye-bye. You know. No, he's not saying that. He's saying hoping for nothing in return from them. We're not trying to buy something from them by giving to them, helping them, trying to get their favor or get their help, you know, by giving to them, expecting something from them, in other words. It says, love your enemies, says, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. Now listen to this. And your reward will be great. That's strange. He just said don't hope for anything. And then he turned right around and said, and your reward will be great. Amen. Yeah, it will, but not from them.
That's right.
From God. That's who we're trusting, God. We're doing this because of God. Are you with me? And we're trusting God for the return. You know, I was praying with a guy Tuesday at the food bank. Frank had to leave early, and I was just standing around, and somebody came in kind of late. First time he'd been there, a young man. And somebody grabbed me and said, hey, Pastor, we need somebody to pray. You know, so me being a pastor, I said, yes, I will walk in there and I will bless him. And no, I was glad to pray. I was standing there and I thought, sure, I'll go pray with him. So I went and sat down with him, you know, and talked to him and asked him if he knew Jesus. And he said he did, you know, but I knew he'd been out of church a long time, you could tell. You know, he kind of hung his head when he said, I said, so you know Jesus? He said, yeah, I do. And I said, you've been out of church a long time, haven't you? And he says, yeah, I have. I've been out of church a long time. I said, man, you know, Jesus loves you. He loves you, and we love you, and I want you to know why we're doing this. I mean, the reason we do this, have all this food out here, and help you, and we'll help you. You don't have to get saved. You don't have to get right with God for us to help you. We want to help you because of Jesus, because we're a church, and we feel like we should help people. We want to, but it's because of the Lord that we're doing what we're doing. And I hope you understand that. And you can come back next week, you know. But I really would like to pray with you, get your life right. Just let me pray with you and come to our church. You sit back at the back. If you don't like it, you can run out. Sit on the back row. I mean, I was real nice to him, real kind to him, but I wanted him to know why we do what we do. Are you with me? Because we really care. We care about you because of Jesus in us. We care about you. And if you don't even get right and come to church, we'll still help you because we're Christians.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you with me? That means something, see? And so why do we help people? Not try to get something from them. No, we help them because we want to help them. It's the right thing to do.
Yes.
Are you with me? We're supposed to help people. God's blessed me to be a blessing.
Yes.
If I have extra, I should help people. I should feel compelled to do that. How could we go home and not help someone and meet someone's need when we have more than we need?
Hallelujah.
Oh, come on. I mean, that's what he's talking about here. And so anyway, I prayed with him, and you know, and then he went on and got his food. He's not here this Sunday, but he may show up, you know. Who knows? Like Tommy, that guy he ministered to, maybe he'll show up too. So it says here in the 35th verse, let's finish that one. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Aren't you glad God's kind to us? Well, we ought to be kind to others. And He's talking about giving. Therefore, 36th verse, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Now this is called sowing and reaping is what this is called. In the world and other religions, they'll say karma, you know, bad karma. or good karma. You know, the things you do come back and haunt you or come back and bless you. Well, the Bible's just real plain. It's called sow and reap it. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. Now, there's a couple things going on here. God loves those people out there so much that are in need that he wants you to help them. God loves you so much, he wants you to help them so he can help you more. Everybody wins. That's what's so good about giving, is that I give to help people, and then I open up the door for God to help me. Because he's merciful to the merciful. I can store up mercy in heaven by giving mercy on earth. I can store up forgiveness by giving forgiveness. You know, you wonder why you don't have any friends. Well, maybe you're not very friendly. Just a thought, okay? Just think it. People that have a lot of friends are friendly people, aren't they? And you know, when you smile a lot, like I'm doing right now, I get a lot of smiles back. Everybody's smiling back at me. But I guarantee if I started hollering at you, all of a sudden the frown comes back on. You receive back what you give. And so let's keep the cycle going. If God has blessed us, well, my goodness, let's just keep blessing others with it, because that's why he's blessed me. And that'll keep that cycle going. That'll keep it rolling, you know. He says here, 38th verse, and this is the classic verse. This is one we always use. Now notice he's talking about a lot of things here, not just giving to poor people. He does say lend. He does say give. But he also talks about mercy. He talks about forgiveness. This is a universal law. It specifically does apply to finances, but universally it applies to anything that you give. If you give kindness, that'll come back. If you're friendly, that'll come back. If you're hateful, that'll come back. It's indifferent in this sense that it doesn't matter what you give. Whatever you throw off the roof is going to hit the ground. That's called gravity.
Amen.
Isn't that right? Gravity's just indifferent. It doesn't matter what you throw off the roof. You can jump off yourself. You're going to hit the ground. That's gravity. Sowing and reaping is just indifferent in that sense. It's a principle. It's a law. Now, God's trying to teach us his laws and principles so we can work with them instead of against them. Because we've been shooting ourselves in the foot here, and we need to turn this thing around. Quit giving out that hate. Quit being so critical. Quit being so judgmental. Quit using and abusing people. Start helping people. Whoa, and they'll start coming back to you.
Amen.
That's a wonderful thing. See, it's a principle that he wants us to take advantage of. And he says in the 38th verse, there's the classic verse, we all know it, we could all quote it, I'm sure. It says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Wow. Shaking together and running over. King James says, will men give to your bosom? For with the same measure that you use or how you give, it will be measured back to you. If you give a little, it'll come back. Give a lot will come back. Are you with me? But he uses this seed bag illustration, which I think is really neat, because back then it was more agricultural economy, you know, a culture and people and economy. Most people were farmers or sheep herders or whatever at that time. They didn't have a lot of computer businesses back then. And nobody was on Twitter and nobody was texting while they were driving, because they didn't text when they drove their wagons or rode their donkey. So he used an illustration that all relate to it. It's like a seed bag. He said a good measure, like you got a bag full with a good measure. Good measure, pressed down, running over, shaking together, shaking where it fills in all the spots. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Shall men give to your bosom. I love that. That's a full bag. That's more than a full bag. It's running over.
Amen.
And it wasn't a stuffed bag where they, you know, they put a bunch of stuff in the bottom where it just kind of half filled it. I mean, it was shaking together where everything was, all the spots were filled in. And that's what happens. You want to live a full life. You want to live a life that's running over with kindness, then go out there and give kindness. Now, financially, let's be givers. When God does bless us financially, let's be faithful to help others with that. I'm talking about above the tithe, because that does, there's different times in your life you're able to give more than you are others. Tithe is a tithe, no matter what it is. If you have a little or a lot, it's 10%. You should do that all the time. That's a starting point. Above that is giving.
Yes.
I don't think you ought to just live your whole life tithing. I think you ought to get to where you're doing more than the tithe. Oh, come on, tithe is a starting point. That's just the starting point. That's entry level. That's, you know, that's just get in there. No matter what goes on, I'm going to tithe. But boy, as God blesses me, I'm going to start giving more than that. Now, I'm not trying to get your money. You understand that? Because that's not what we're about. That's not, we're just teaching the word here. God wants to bless you, and he wants to help you. And this is the way he did it. You know, Jesus said in Acts 20, verse 35, he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And significant because he's not against you receiving. Obviously, he wants to bless you and prosper you. But see, he knows that giving causes you to receive. He understands that. In fact, Paul said that. Paul's the one that said that. He was quoting Jesus. And he actually talked to some of the elders of the churches that he was leaving because he was getting ready to go to Rome. And he said an interesting thing there. He says, you know, I told you about how you should work with your hands, so you can have to give. And remember the words of Jesus. He said it's more blessed to give than to receive. I think it's interesting he talked about the principle of working so you could have something to give. Well, I'm just trying to get beans on my table and a roof on my house and clothes on my back. Well, we should be working for more than just that. We should be working so we can have something to give.
Amen.
That's a new concept, isn't it? Working so I can help others. Not working so I can just bless my four no more. Come on. Working so we can help others. Well, Lord, if I just have my needs met, that's all I'm concerned about. Well, that's kind of selfish, isn't it? You ever think about how selfish that is? It sounds pious. It sounds holy. I mean, Lord, just all I ask, just food on my table, clothes on my back, and a roof on my head. Lord, if I just had that, just take care of me, I'll be blessed and I'll be happy. Well, first, you won't be blessed and you won't be happy because you'll never be happy until you're helping others. And God's will is not that you just have clothes on your back and a roof on your head and food on your table. God's will is that you get past that and get to where you can help others. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know what? Maybe you don't have a lot of money. That's fine. Well, you can help. You can show up and do things, you know. And, I mean, you can call people. You can. There's all kinds of things you can do with what you have where you are. And if you're not faithful in the little, he's not going to put you over the much. Turn to Philippians 4. There's a good one. There's just actually, my goodness, there's so many scriptures, I just can't get to them all here. yeah, we'll go to Philippians 4. That's a good one. Philippians, you know, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Was that go eat popcorn? Is that right? Or Gentiles eat pork chops? Or, you know, God, what? Electric power company. God's electric power company. Whatever works for you. Okay. Galatians. Is it Philippians? Yeah. Popcorn. Yeah. Philippians 4. This is fascinating because Paul was commending the church at Philippians, for offerings that they had given him to help Jerusalem, the churches in Jerusalem, because they'd had a drought and they'd had some real fallen on hard times. So Paul had gone around collecting money. Actually, in fact, the church at Corinth, he mentions an offering there, church at Corinth, waiting to receive one from them, and the church at Philippi gave liberally to him to help him go help the church at Jerusalem. So this is like a missionary offering. This wasn't their tithe. It was extra. It was beyond that. It was like a missionary offering, like we do our missions, you know, helping people around the world. And so he really wrote this letter to commend them in this respect. That's part of the main purpose of this letter, just four chapters. And one of the main things, and he ends up talking about it, he's saying thank you. Thank you for your gift, for your offering. And he says here in the 14th verse, he says, you have done well that you shared in my distress. 15th verse. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Love that. King James says, I believe no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving. I love how he puts those two together. Give, you don't give without receiving. Isn't that right? Because when you give, you do receive. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Give, and it will be given to you. We know that. So he's saying that in the same breath. He's commending them that when no other church did, you communicated with me, you shared with me concerning giving and receiving. Okay, 16th verse. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessity. So they did this several times. They didn't do this once or twice. These were gifts that they had given. Not that I seek the gift. I'm not saying all this so I can get more money off you. But I seek the fruit that abounds to your account.
There you go.
Think about that. Here they were, out of a pure heart, helping Paul preach the gospel and then helping these churches, of course, in Jerusalem that he took up offerings for. And they were willing to do so because they had a heart to do that. And yet, in Paul's mind, that wasn't all that was going on. They were building up fruit to their account too, because God was going to bless them back for what they gave. And God will always bless you back for what you give. So it's kind of a sideways thing. You have to watch your heart. We're not giving to get, per se, but we know that when we give, we will get, because God's going to give us more than we give.
Amen.
And God's going to do better than we do.
Amen.
And if I get stingy and try to hold on to it all, I'm going to lose everything, because I'm not going to have the blessing of God on me. If I'm going to be like God, I'm going to have to help people. If I'm going to be a child of God, sons and daughters of God, if people are going to see Jesus in me, then I'm going to have to live a life of giving. But I need to do that in faith, knowing that if I do that, God is going to bless me.
Amen.
You know, the only reason I'm giving to you is so I can get something back. No, that's wrong attitude. I know that giving to you, I will get something back, because God says that. So I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to be stingy now and hold on to this, because I know if I give, it's going to come back. I'm going to follow my heart in helping people that need help when I'm able to. You understand that? Okay. So he's commending them, and he says this, 17th verse, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all I bound. This is Paul talking. I am full, I love that. Boy, more preachers ought to talk this way. I got everything I need. I'm blessed. I want to tell you, if you want to taking offerings 101, receiving offerings in church 101, if you were to go to seminaries and college, you do not do this. Well, it's offering time. We're out of debt. You don't do that. That's not how you receive offerings. You have to create a need. You have to get people emotionally involved here. If you want to put a little guilt on shame, that's okay too.
Wow.
Whatever it takes, get the money. You don't get up and say, we're out of debt, our bills are paid.
Amen.
We've been out of debt since 1997. You're not going to get anything if you talk like that. Hello.
Amen.
Well, if you're not trusting God, you're probably right.
Yeah.
You probably won't get anything. But if you're trusting God, why were you trying to work the people? Were we trying to work you on an offering? Is that what we're about? You know, or shame you into giving, or, you know, condemn you into tithing? You know, I get up and teach the word. You make those decisions. You make those choices. And I have to trust God, and you have to trust God. And if we ever get beyond that and start playing games, like a lot of churches do, a lot of ministries do, then we don't have our faith in God anymore, and we're not going to be blessed.
Amen.
All I know is that it really pays to trust God. That's what I do know. I know it pays to help people, it pays to be honest, it pays to give, and it pays to trust God. That's what I know. That's what we've proven in 28 years in this church.
Amen.
We've never pulled, we've never begged, we've never done that. And I'm not speaking out of turn. You know, many people have been here with us all this time. We don't do that. We do not do that because we're trusting God.
Yes.
And we've gone through some tough times, but you know, God got us through there, and here we are. We're out of debt. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I like to get behind causes like that.
Amen.
I like to help someone that's doing something, praise God, that's making a difference.
Amen.
Woo. Okay, so he's commended them, and he says, 18th verse, indeed, I have all and I abound. I'm full. Having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma. Their offerings had a sweet aroma to them. Sent from you a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. I like that. God takes our gifts and he receives them like aroma. He receives them like a well-pleasing sacrifice. And then he says this verse that we all quote, 19th verse. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Woo. Amen.
Now, I think that's interesting because many times we quote that and we hadn't really been tithing or giving. Yet, Paul is not talking about someone who hasn't tithed and hadn't given. He's quoting that verse to someone who is a giver.
That's right.
Y'all see that? And he's saying basically this, you know what? You had the ability to help me in my time of need, and you did, and you helped us in our missionary endeavors, and you did what you could, and you're to be commended, and you're going to have fruit for that. But God's going to turn around and do what he can. I love that. He's going to meet your need according to his riches. You've met ours according to your riches. You've done what you could, but God's going to meet your need according to his riches.
Praise God.
A lot of times we center on that word need and say God just going to meet our need. But I think the point he's making here is that we've done what we could when we could, but God's going to do what he can, and he can do a whole lot more than we can.
Yes. Amen.
And his riches are, according to his riches are a lot more than ours are.
That's right.
Isn't that right? And so he's going to meet our need according to his riches.
Yes.
He's not going to meet our need according to our need. He's going to meet our need according to his riches.
Amen. That's good.
Isn't that good?
Great.
Yeah, and it's based on how we've been given. He'll be merciful to the merciful. The measure that you give will be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Woo! Given. I see, it's all the way to live. And we ought to be believing and praying and asking God to help us get in position to help others. Because that's the best thing. You know, we're often saying, Lord, help me. Just help me, you know. Well, hey, help me help others. God will always help you help others. Always. In fact, if we can just think of ways to help more people. God will make sure we have plenty. I'm amazed. This church is just amazing how God has met our need time and time again. The things that we have in a small town like Wills Point, Texas, sitting on 45 acres and it's paid for, concrete paid for, and buildings we're building and paying cash. And, you know, there have been times we held back and slowed down, but we're always doing things and starting ministries, Hallelujah Night and the food bank. And, you know, we do it free. We don't charge for that. We just want to bless people. We keep our missions up. We make sure we give lots of missions money every year because that's our lifeblood, is our giving to help people and help the world. And God turns around and just makes sure we always have plenty. We're not going through crisis. We're not just barely getting by. They're not about to repossess the building. Hello. Well, what kind of strange building program do we have here? What kind of pledge program, stewardship program do we have? We don't have one. If you want to know what our program is, it's giving. Giving has blessed us in this church. Giving to missions has blessed us.
Amen.
That's when we got on the road to really getting out of debt, when we got aggressive about our giving to missions.
Yes.
You know, Ron and Mo know this. We met and talked about this in 1995. We were really in debt. And we decided we've got to do something here. And so we started increasing our missions.
Right.
That's what we came up with.
Yeah.
By the Holy Ghost, we didn't go into a bond program. We actually talked about that. We talked about a lot of things, you know. But we decided, no, we're not going to do that. Not going to do that. And I felt led by the Holy Ghost to increase missions, and Ron felt led by the Holy Ghost to support Walt and Eva at that time. And Mo felt led by the Holy Ghost. We had a Holy Ghost meeting.
Whoa.
Felt led by the Holy Ghost to increase our missions $200 every 6 months. $200 a month every 6 months. And so we started on that trek, and I'm telling you, from 1995, you can watch the figures just start going up in our offerings. We needed money, so we decided, let's start giving. Let's get out of ourselves, get our eyes off us, and start helping others.
Amen.
And it changed our church. I mean, we bring in probably in a month what we used to bring in a year back then. But look at all we're doing. We went from $8,000 in missions that year to $16,000 the next year, to $22,000, to $32,000, to $58,000, to over $100,000, and then it's been $100,000 a year for 10 years.
Awesome.
Get me excited just thinking about it. I mean, it's just amazing. We give more than we used to bring in a year.
Yeah.
A whole year.
Yeah.
But it's, we started where we were, and we started looking out of ourselves and started looking to others and helping others. And God began to kick that principle in gear, because he was wanting to all that time. He's wanting to bless us. But he blesses blessers. He gives to givers. He gives seed to sowers. You got to be a sower to get seed. You got to be a giver to have it given to you. We get it backwards. We're saying, Lord, give me something, I'll give. He's saying, you give and I'll give you something.
Amen.
Lord, I want a harvest. He's going to say, go seed, sow some seed.
That's right.
Okay. So he says, my God shall supply all your need. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Turn to Galatians. I quoted this. Let's turn to it. Galatians 6. Hallelujah. I am not going to get to all these scriptures. Galatians, the 6th chapter. Notice what it says in the 6th verse. Now here he's talking about supporting the ministry. And you know, when you talk about offerings and giving, there's all kinds of offerings. There's building offerings, there's gifts to the poor, there's gift to the ministry, and so on and so forth. In this case, it says, let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. That would be, you know, you should support me. You know, in this church, I'm on an offering basis. In other words, that envelope you get that has pastor and it has church on it, whatever you mark pastor goes to me, whatever you mark church goes to church, and I don't touch it. If you don't mark anything, it all goes to church, and I don't touch it. That's just a point of integrity with me. It's something I've done since we started the church in 1982. Of course, Ron and Mo know this. They're elders in the church. We meet and talk about it. But out of the money that comes into pastor, I'll pay myself a salary or take a housing allowance, all those things that we do technically for IRS. I have a check. I have a housing allowance, car allowance. But that comes from what you give in pastor. It's like a pastor's account is what it is. So I have to believe God every week. I try to be as nice as I can to y'all. No. Stay with me. No. Really, I hardly ever even mention that. I mean, I just mentioned that then, but I hardly ever mention that. But I trust God. I really do. I'm not a hireling. There's nothing wrong with being paid. That's fine. But see, you don't pay me. I don't work for you. You say, well, that's kind of mean. Are you kidding? I love you. That's why I show up here every Sunday.
That's right. Amen.
I don't show up here for a paycheck. I show up here because I love you. I show up here because God called me to this church. He called me here, and this is what I want to do, and I work for him, and I put my faith and my trust in him. Are you with me? And it is right that you support me, because it says he that is taught in the word should communicate in all things with him who teaches. I'm not saying that to get more money off of you. We're teaching on giving here. However, ushers, get the buckets ready. No, I'm just kidding. Stay with me. Boy, would that be playing you, huh? Wouldn't that? I mean, teach on this and then get the buckets out. Come on, let's pass the bucket. People do that, okay. 7th verse. Now notice this next verse. It says, do not be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. Hey, that's a positive thing. He wasn't saying something negative there. He's saying when you give, you're going to reap what you give. Anything you give, you're going to reap. Now, whatever it is, 8th verse, he who sows the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows the Spirit to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary in well-doing or doing good. That means giving financially. For in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. And he goes on and says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith.
Amen.
Wow. So giving does cause a return to come. But we do it because it's right. We do it because we want to help people and bless people, knowing that God's going to bless us back. 1 Corinthians 9, let's close this up. Out. Good stuff. You know, I saved all this for the last. I tithing and giving to the last because people accuse churches of that's, you know, finances. That's all they talk about is tithing and offering. We talked for weeks on finances and never even mentioned tithes and offerings. We talked about investing, borrowing, cosigning, saving, budgeting. We talked about work. We talked about our attitude toward it. Weeks we went on those subjects. And then we closed out last week with tithing, this week with giving, to put it in context. Let me tell you something. If you give and you don't work, your giving won't get you out of debt. I'm talking about if you're able to work. Now, you understand. You're not retired. You're not disabled. You don't tithe, and yet you go out and work. Your working's not going to bless you because you're not going to have the blessing of God on you. If you tithe and don't work and don't do the other things he says to do, and you don't budget and you don't save and you don't watch your finances, you can't tithe your way out of debt. You can't give your way out of debt. I'm a preacher. Yeah, I'm saying those things. Because I hear people say, you can give your way out of debt. No, you cannot. If you don't take care of your finances, and you don't pay your bills, and you don't use wisdom with your money, just giving won't get you out of debt. Won't do it. But I'll flip that coin the other way too. You can do everything else he says do. You can watch your finances. You can budget. You can save, invest, do all these things. And you don't tithe and you don't give, you don't have the blessing of God on you.
That's right.
So we need what? We need all of it. We need to use wisdom. We need to give. We need to tithe. But not emotionally. Isn't that right? Not emotionally. We need to ask God, give us wisdom to handle our finances correctly, you know, while we're the money we keep. And then the blessing of God comes on us by the money we give. Woo!
Amen.
Man, okay. All right, this is it. The ninth chapter, 2 Corinthians. Did I say 1 Corinthians? Yeah. 2 Corinthians 9. Y'all loving this?
Amen.
You know, you can go back and get these CDs. Sell them a dollar a piece. Come on. Do what? You can buy it as a set for... You can order it today. That's right. Make your checks out to Michael Williams. No, you make your checks out to the church. The church gets that money. I'm sounding more and more like a car salesman than whatever I preach. Okay. No. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "For this I say, he who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So let each one of us purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Now he's not talking about the tithe. We know what that is. That's 10%. This is giving. And he wants us to purpose it too. You have to watch being emotional. I know, man, you get a missionary up here and show a film with kids, I'll empty my wallet. But you should use wisdom because you have bills to pay and so on and so forth. Are you with me? But you ought to not forget those kids that missionary put on that overhead. You ought to be planning to help them if you were pulled to do that systematically with wisdom, supporting them, maybe monthly, whatever. If you can't get away from that and that keeps tugging at you when you... Listen, that's God pulling you to help those people. Does that make sense? But you know, you have to watch being emotional. Sometimes people go through a building offering and people just... Oh, they just give away the farm, you know, because so-and-so gave and so-and-so gave. Well, I got to be a part of that. Somebody gave 1,000, I got to give 1,000. Well, you know, use some wisdom. Ask God to help you. Is that what he wants you to do, or are you just doing it because they're doing it? Or no, you should purpose what you should give. Now, this is kind of unusual, preachers talking about these kinds of things. But more preachers need to.
Amen.
Because sometimes we do get emotional. It's easy to get wrapped up. I get wrapped up. I get emotional, man. I'm the first one to cry when those kids get on, those orphans get on that TV or get on that screen. Man, I'm thinking, and I had to turn it off and pray, you know. God, what do you want me to do here? And we're a big mission supporting church. You let a missionary come through, we'll have huge offerings. Thank God, you are to be commended. That speaks well for us. In fact, just any speaker comes through, the missionaries that come through get the biggest offerings. They always do. That shows us where our heart is. That's good. Okay, so he says this. 2 Corinthians 9:7, let each one give as he purposeth in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Happy, willing, prompt.
Yeah.
God is able, now listen to this next verse, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work.
Yes.
As it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Wow. I just got to stop. I was thinking there's a lot more scriptures I want to get to. Shall I read this out of the Amplified?
The eighth verse.
Shall I get my glasses so I can see that print in the Amplified? Eighth verse. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work in charitable donation. Woo! Man, I love that. Isn't that good? Hey, wouldn't you like to give to every missionary that comes through? I know I would. Wouldn't you like to give to every building program or everything that the church does? I know I would. I know this, as we're faithful to do what we can, God enables us to do more next time.
Yes.
It's a process. It's a principle. Start giving. You know, live your life to give. Ask God to help you give, and it'll change your life.